Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Marion County has reached out to the people of Haiti, but much more needs to be done. Let's go in depth with Silent OS Steele Henderson and Tim Brand with Many Hands for Haiti, Pella. Solanto, where are you from?
I am originally from Haiti, but have been living in the United States for the last 15 years, specifically in Davenport, Iowa. I grew up in that community, graduated from Bettendorf, so I'm a Bettendorf Bulldog. Basically, I came to the United States on a medical visa. I was found by a missionary nurse who went down to Haiti to kind of help the people medically, and he came to my village and happened to come across me and realized that I had a sickness that needed to be taken care of, and brought me here to United States, started at the University of Iowa Children's Hospital, and then end up in, at the Shriners Hospital. And so basically, I was not able to walk for 6 years of my life, even when my father, adoptive father, met me in Haiti. So basically, this missionary nurse who found me in Haiti, brought me on a medical visa, but he ended up being my legally adopted father as well. And so I've been living here in the Quad Cities with him. Got my education. My education started in fourth grade. Was lucky enough to be successful, graduated high school, went to become Iowa State University Cyclone, and graduated there with a degree in history and political science. And so now I'm back in Haiti trying to make a difference back in my culture, where I was taken away from. So I'm very excited.
And is that transition to going back, is that hard?
No, it's not, because, you know, one of the things that's very exciting is that I understand the need, because I grew up in that community. My family, my birth parents and siblings are still living there. And it's kind of motivating to see, you know, oftentimes people say, well, it's Haitians that needs to help their own country. Well, I am one that's trying to help. So the transition going back is not really difficult, just because I know that I'm trying to reconnect with my own people and with my own family. And my adoptive father is very supportive. He walks alongside me going back to Haiti. And so kind of I'm utilizing the resources that I obtained here in this country. And then now I feel like, well, it's giving it back to those that are less fortunate. So basically that's kind of what I'm doing. So I'm enjoying it 100%. So.
And you retained the language?
No, actually, I had totally forgot my Haitian Creole. I have no one in this country to speak the language with me, so English was the only thing that I knew. So I had to rethought myself the language by studying it in books and then by taking mission trips. And so it's still not as good as I would like it, but now I'm able to communicate with the people. So for the last 8 months, I've been learning it, and now I'm able to communicate in it with the people. But before that, I was using translators to speak for me.
And Tim, what's your relationship? What's your connection?
Yeah, basically, I went to Haiti to start with 14 years ago. So 1998 was my first trip down into Haiti. And like a lot of people, it was on a short-term mission trip where I basically felt like it was, you know, we were going to put a roof on a school. And it went well. And I basically thought that was going to kind of be it. But some different plans for me. And basically in 2000, when I was at Central College here, after my sophomore year, I felt called to go back to Haiti. I was praying with a roommate, and basically felt like I was supposed to go back, and woke up the next morning and there's an email in my inbox saying, would you lead a mission trip to Haiti? So I went back, and at that point I rededicated my life that in some way, shape, or form I'd be working in the country of Haiti. And so but I thought it'd be like everyone else, just sending money or, you know, taking a trip here and there. And but God had different plans for me on that. And so through various things, I went and worked in the workplace, but always retained sending people back to Haiti and going back to Haiti. And in 2006, started a loose association of churches. So there was churches from Omaha, Cedar Rapids, Davenport, Sioux City, Des Moines, Pella. And we basically met on a quarterly basis. And out of that, I basically felt that needed to start a non nonprofit that we could all kind of work through, not duplicate efforts, and have some best practices that come out of us. And so out of that, basically, I formed Many Hands for Haiti, which is the 501c3 nonprofit here at Apella. And we had a couple at the same time from the Sully area that moved down to Haiti full-time in 2008. And so they were in-country people for the first 2 years that we were in existence, from 2008 to 2010. And so out of that, we formed the 501c3. And then Solanto came along. And so he's been doing that for the past year. And my path has continued to expand. I was at Vermeer as a started as a global accounts manager, and then was a business segment manager, was managing all of our global strategies. But as what I felt was on our heart with what was going on in Haiti and what we needed to do, that I needed more commitment. So actually, in November of this year, I quit my full-time job and did this as a full-time resources, because we just had some tremendous things going on the ground. And I stopped looking at it as what can I give on the side versus what's this going to take to get done. And so basically, I left my job. This has already started, but then I'm doing this in a full-time capacity now. And it's just been amazing to see where it's been going since we've launched this in full capacity since November. So,
more in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Silanto Estiel Henderson and Tim Brand. What does Haiti need from us?
What does Haiti need from us? Well, what I feel that Haiti needs from people here in America is to be the face of Christ. I'm a true believer. I really believe that we don't alone need to help just locally, but we need to be able to help globally. And I think we have the resources here. It goes back, you know, being able to take what we have and be able to kind of help those who don't have it and trying to move them in the development world. So basically, I think the technology, the education, the medical hospitals that we have back here, making the connection with what Haiti needs, because they don't have these type of resources to be able to help these people get on their own feet. As being an example, as being an educator, I was educated at Iowa State and became a teacher myself, is realizing people here who might be educators that want to be able to help in the third world country as well. So basically, it goes whatever people are passionate about, wanting to make a difference, giving it to someone who doesn't have the opportunity, is that's what Haiti really needs.
Some skills.
Right.
Teaching skills,
right.
Other kinds of skills, medical skills,
right.
Anything else in particular?
Construction. Business-wise, being able to help people do microfinance, anything, really, anything.
Yeah, I mean, one of the major things is in third world countries, Haiti is no different, and Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, is the people live on a day-to-day basis. I mean, they don't necessarily know where their food's going to come. They don't necessarily see anything beyond what's right in front of them. And so part of our job as U.S. citizens, and in particularly, like, you know, if we're talking Iowa, is to help expand their horizons, to be able to lift their head above, you know, just seeing what am I going to do tonight, what am I going to do tomorrow, and to be able to see that bigger vision so they can understand, if I do this, that'll help for this, and that'll help down the road here. And so we really need to help create that. And so how we basically engage in that is trying to do schools, education, especially at a young age, if we can get them early, help shape and mold their minds through. And Solanto started after school programs, so like a Boys and Girls Club type program where we're doing music and drama and soccer and sports. If you take away the sports in my life, I don't know where I would be today, to be frank. It was just a huge part, and it's part of what molded me to be what I'm doing. And so we need to continue to give those opportunities for the adults, because we don't necessarily just want to focus on kids. We also want to do adults. I mean, we need to give them economic opportunities. How we will help that country is through trade. I mean, aid is a short-term relief. We need to do trade with them. So their natural products right now, coffee. So actually, we're in the process of starting a coffee company because they've got phenomenal coffee. And it's a great place where we can actually buy it, and it's a value here. Being able to do things such in the textile industry would be another one that, that we certainly can have from an export standpoint. But part of it is to give them the skills to be able to serve their own people. So it's not where we come in and swoop in and we're the savior of them. It's really is trying to work with them, meet them where they're at, because they're smart people. If they weren't smart, they'd be dead. So it's coming alongside them, helping them expand their horizons, giving them the opportunities just like we've had, such as education, clean water, feeding, food, healthcare, you know, the things that we take for granted, and just being able to partner with them and to be able to bring what we know and go down there and work with them.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Silent OS Steele Henderson and Tim Brand. How's the Haitian government? Is it stable? Is it working adequately to help solve some problems?
Well, it has not been working. That's history. Haiti has always had some issues with their leaders. They always have the right ideas to go into making a difference for the country, but then money comes as a bigger thing that comes in an issue where the people are only wanting to make the people oppressed. The leaders don't want the country almost want them to keep them in the position they want, because oftentimes they feel that that if they do everything right, the country won't be going in the right direction anymore. And I don't know why that makes any sense, but basically for Martelly, who is the current president of Haiti right now, he's the president of Haiti, but yet he has two nationalities. So basically, the country said you only have one, and then you have two. Well, now they are trying to remove him out of power. The people are not educated. That's the issue. If you have a president that the popularity of the people that needs to select them do not even know what he's trying to do for them, they can't really run the country whatsoever. So the president is not really doing what he's supposed to do right now. I mean, the education is still low. There's not jobs that's really being created. There's no hospitals being built for the people. So from my perspective, I try to stay away from politics of Haiti because I really feel like there's nothing being done in their part.
Yeah, and if you look, the history of Haiti is actually extremely interesting. It is really interesting. And people always ask, why is Haiti where they are? Why are they this way? But you look back, and basically they were the first African slave culture to basically declare their independence. They rebelled against the French and got their independence. And it was great for them. The problem was though, the rest of the world wasn't ready for it. Because we, the United States at that point, had slave labor. All Europeans had slave labor. And they saw that as a huge threat to their way of society. And so when that cultural revolted, basically the rest of the world shunned them. They said, well, we don't want the rest of the slaves to do this. And so we're going to put embargoes on you. We're not going to recognize you. We're not going to trade with you. We're not going to do anything with you. So you take the slave culture, who the leaders in general, there was no leaders out of it. Now you put huge economic strains on them because you aren't going to trade with them. You aren't going to actually try to help them at all. And you got uneducated people with no money. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to start fighting. So from the initial get-go of Haiti, they've always been fighting amongst themselves as far as who's in power, who's not in power, and it's continued on. And then throughout even the 1900s, you look at U.S. politics and some very detrimental things that we have done, such as trade embargoes and things in general. It's definitely been a detriment. The thing I will say is, as I said, I've been going there since 1998. Politically, it's probably as best as it's been since I've been there. Martelly has done some things that has been better. Does it have a ways to go? Absolutely. Is it stable? I would say it's stable right now, but Haiti always is a little bit in flux just because of what's been going on. So it's an interesting place, but I think people got to realize that we, as an American culture, being 600 miles off our coast, have actually played a huge role in keeping Haiti where it's at. We didn't recognize Haiti till we declared after 1860s, the Civil War, when the whole Emancipation Proclamation, that's when we finally declared that Haiti was actually a country, you know, 60 years later than when they actually declared. And then we've done some pretty detrimental things as well. So, you know, they're always have started from a hole.
Well, some of our political leaders don't like to hear that we've done detrimental things yep. around the world. We can't even talk about it. Yep. America sometimes seems to be in a state of denial about our impact on world affairs, that they're yep. only good. But this sounds like that wasn't the case in this instance.
Oh, we've absolutely had a detriment. And if people want to recognize it or not, but you can look at history. I mean, we occupied Haiti from 1900 to 1932 as well. Like, it's like 1910 to 1932. United States was actually physically occupying the continent. And there's things such as what we do from a trade embargo. Haiti used to be the world producer in rice production and coffee industry, both of them. And basically they were, it ebbs and flows with what they're allowed to trade with on the U.S. side. The rice production in general has been very interesting because we used to export a lot of trade. Haiti used to export a lot of trade to the United States. And then basically through different embargoes and stuff, basically said we aren't going to trade with Haitian rice. And we're actually going to import rice. And so now Haiti imports most of the rice when they've got absolutely the ability to grow it themselves. But there was no buyer on it. So then people basically stop growing it, don't teach it, you don't actually do it anymore. Same with the coffee industry. They have an absolute gem of a coffee. It's the original 1700 bean that was produced in Ethiopia, was brought over to Haiti, and it's been preserved through technology because they haven't advanced in technology. So it's this wild bean that's still preserved. But yet the world doesn't necessarily know about it because there's certain trades that doesn't come out of Haiti. So part of our job is to help just create this atmosphere. And the earthquake actually has helped expand that. People have actually engaged in Haiti and say, why are they the way they are? I mean, they've been this way. Before the earthquake, they were the world's, you know, they were the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. They were one of the poorest top 10 in the world. So when the earthquake happened, everyone sees this destruction, but a lot of that was there even before the earthquake even happened. And so the nice thing, or not nice, because it was, don't get me wrong, the earthquake was certainly, it was a tragedy. When I heard it happen, I said, that's going to be the worst earthquake in the history of the world because of just how things are built there. But it's shown a light on Haiti and being able to get people to see, how can we actually engage to make a difference here? What can we actually do? And that there is good in that country, absolutely, if we can just, you know, get to the right people and the right things.
You're not going to say it. You haven't said it. So I'll say it. Our checks can help too, can't they?
I believe they can. I that's something that I do not wish to ask for, but people know that money can make a difference. And when it comes down to purchasing things for the school, if, for example, we're building the school right now, we are not there yet to be able to raise, to have the funding that we need to get the school started in September for these 130 kids. Well, we need to be able to pay the professors, the teachers too, to be able to stand in front of these 130 kids to go to school. We need to be able to do that. But me alone being in Haiti, the funding is not in Haiti because the people don't have money over there. So I can't be able to say, I'm going to work to give everybody all their checks every month. So it's kind of partnering up with people who desire to say, well, I see the good that's being done in Haiti. I see the good that's being done all around the world. How can I be part of it? Well, you can partner up with Many Hands for Haiti, say, well, let's get the school built. I truly believe in the education of people, not just here in America, but all over the place, so these people can be able to stand on their own.
Well, the biggest thing in general is the integrity side of it. Because one of the biggest problems with Haiti is corruption. It's absolutely a problem. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are taking advantage of the system. And so that's one of the things that we feel very strongly about, is that integrity side of things. We know right now the checks and balances we have in place, we have people on the ground that actually can look after this dollar and stretch the dollar as far as we can to get the most use out of it. And so the money will actually get to where it needs to get to. And it's going to actually be to the ground to help people. And so I feel very strongly that we are, from the United States side of things, we have the most money in the history of mankind to be able to do something with. And with that becomes much responsibility. Those who are given much, much is required of you. And we're not asking for us to go be the savior of Haiti. That's the Haitian's job. But it's our job to go and be part of the solution, to walk alongside them. And if that means that we have the resources, that means that we have the resources, and we need to be good stewards of those resources. And if we have people like Solanto and the other people he's describing about running these programs on the ground, you know, we need to help them because, for example, his brother, who's highly educated, he makes $87 a month. He's got family. He's got kids. Gas right there was $9 a gallon. It's not like their expenses are less down there than they are here. They're just the same, but he's making $87 a month for a full-time job that if he was here, he'd be making $60,000 a year, easy. And he's educated. But so it's just there's that, you know, injustices that are going on. And so part of what our job is to go in and try to create that balance back. For donations, you can make the checks out to Many Hands for Haiti, and that is at P.O. Box 204. Pella, Iowa, 50219. You can also go to our website, www.m4h.org. That's Many Hands, the number 4, Haiti.org. So mh4h.org. And you can see all the information as far as what Solanto's talking about here, a lot of good stuff out there, as well as you can do online donations.
Thanks to Solanto Estiel Henderson and Tim Brand for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.